heart. I believe you'll remember all of it. But it's a passage of scripture where the Lord is notified that Lazarus is sick. And this sickness is, the Lord says it, you know, we know it's going to happen, that Lazarus, from reading it, he's going to die from the sickness. But praise the Lord, there's victory, amen? And Lazarus is risen from the dead, and Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And so, so many sermons preached out of this passage of Scripture, a very powerful passage. But let's look at it together. If you're able, let's stand as we read our Scriptures this morning in respect to the Word of God. If you're not able, the Lord understands that, I promise. But in John chapter number 11, in verse number 1, it says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world, this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. I know you've led me here to bring this morning. I pray that, Lord, you teach us your word this morning. Open our ears, our hearts, and our eyes to the truth. May the Holy Spirit guide us and be our teacher this morning. Please keep a hedge about us, please, and I pray you'd speak to hearts. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, I pray for believers today that we would find comfort in a God that will always take care of us. In your name I pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. Again, there's a lot of talk today about sickness. Everyone, everywhere has an opinion on things, and everyone seems to have fears. But this I know, for the believer, it will all be okay. And this passage is very familiar. A man gets sick, very sick. His family sends word to Jesus. His family asked for Jesus to come because they knew him. They believed in him. And so they said, he's sick, come quickly. They knew that God could heal him. But he didn't. God didn't go. He could have healed his sickness, but he didn't. He could have went immediately, but he didn't. He could have done something. He didn't even have to leave where he was. He could have just thought the thought or spoke the word, and that man would have been healed from a distance. But he didn't. He could have stopped him from getting worse in his sickness. But he didn't. And Lazarus died. He then decided to go, and he tells his disciples, he has to tell them plainly that he had died. Now we know the rest of the story. He would go, he'd minister to Martha, he would minister to Mary, encourage them, teach them some truths about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Then he'd walk up to that tomb where Lazarus had laid now for 4 days being dead. And he spoke, he had the stone rolled away, and then he spoke the words, Lazarus, come forth. He who is bound came forth, resurrected from the dead. And the Bible says that Jesus said to this, that he is, Jesus, the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me, Jesus said, shall never die. Praise the Lord for that promise. Now, before all this, there was sickness. When Lazarus got sick, there was fear. There was great agony. There was dread. They went out and they called upon the one that they knew could change things. But he didn't come immediately. We live in a world today, in a society today, that's filled with a lot of fear. A lot of talk, a lot of opinions, a lot of panic. Some people, I've even heard it with my ears, want to point the finger at God and say, why is he allowing this? Just as Martha did. Just as Mary did. Lord, if you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. Lord, if you would have come when we told you to, he wouldn't have died. So why did God wait 4 days? Why did he allow this sickness? I want you to see a couple things with me this morning. Number one, I want us to consider a problem found in verse number 3. The problem is very simple. It says, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Problem was, there was a great sickness. We do not know what he had. I do not know what he got. I don't know how contagious it was. I don't know if they even knew what he had. But this they knew. He was dying. They knew this sickness was great, and great fear had overwhelmed them. They were reaching out in desperation, trying to find help. In the world that we live in today, there's a lot of talk about sickness, a lot of talk about death, a lot of talk about all this that's going on in the world. And I'm not belittling any of it. But what I am saying is this. There is something far worse than a virus going around. There's something far worse causing much greater hurt. Something that we should address, and we will this morning, and that's called sin. As I said earlier before we had our time of prayer, that the reason, someone would say, well, why is this happening? Sin. Why are people sick? Sin. Why is there death? Sin. The Bible says very clearly, the wages of sin is death. The fact is, people live trying to avoid sin. They live trying to avoid death. They live thinking it will never happen to me, but it does. People live in a lost world, just living their life, counting upon their own things, their own possessions, thinking, I'll just get and make my way through. Which, by the way, is why people are rushing and taking everything they can off of shelves, because their confidence is in things. And they're panicking because if that rug is pulled out from underneath of them, what hope do they have? We live in a world today that is plagued by sin. Everyone has it, everywhere, every place. Everybody is involved in sin. And this sin is lingering. This sin is lasting. This sin is lethal. This sin spreads. It sickens. It brings sorrow and depression. Sin. It doesn't just affect, a lost world. It affects us all. As a matter of fact, the Bible says here, the person that was sick here and the people that were hurting the most, notice again in verse number 3, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Understand this, sin is not just something that, boy, that wicked world out there has. We all have a sin problem. You say, well, I'm sitting in church this morning. You have a sin problem. You say, well, I'm trying to be a good person. You have a sin problem. And again, I on the risk of sounding, sarcastic, and I don't mean it that way. If there was a test for it, we'd all test positive this morning. We all have a sin problem. Say, how do you know that? Look over in Romans chapter number 5 real quick with me this morning. Romans chapter number 5. Look with me in verse number 12. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Says this, Romans 5 and verse number 12. It says, wherefore, Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This disease of sin, this wickedness of sin, it spread very quickly. It started with one, but guess what? We're all born with it. Every one of us are born sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Every one of us, I don't care what kind of environment you grow up in. I don't care whether you're born into a Christian family that goes to church every time the doors are open, or if, you know, born into a broken home of drugs and wickedness and sorrow. It doesn't matter. We're all born sinners. Every one of us are born with a sinful nature. Ever since Adam chose to sin, every one of his children, which every one of us are born with this sin issue. And this sin issue condemns us. The Bible says there in that passage, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. You see, this sin condemns us. Because of our sin problem, it demands death. But this is not a depressing message. There is a cure. There is a way to life. Back in our text, you see the problem. John chapter number 11, his sister said, Lord, behold whom thou lovest is sick. Everyone has this issue. Number two, I want you to see the promise. In verse number 4, it says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. I praise the Lord. You say, well, wait a second. You said Lazarus died. He did. He did. You said, but Jesus said the sickness is not unto death. It wasn't. You say, well, that don't make sense. Read the story. God had a purpose in it. Even though this issue was here, even though this problem was here, and every one of us are born with this issue, every one of us, and by the way, the entire purpose of this story, and God did allow these things to happen because he was teaching a very important principle. And it's this, it's beyond a physical sickness, that there is something far more important than a physical illness. That's why he walked up and he said, your brother will live again. And she said, well, I know. He said, no, you don't get it. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There is a promise here today. And that, praise the Lord, as he even hears this issue, he gives the prescription. It's offered by God. It says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Praise the Lord. There is a way that you do not have to face this condemnation. Now, I just said earlier, every one of us, because of Adam, we're born with this sinful nature. Every one of us, because of sin, we are condemned to die. Our sin problem demands death. It is a lethal thing. But God has made a way of salvation. The reason Jesus Christ came to this world, understand, though he took the form of man, he was not a man. Amen? Though he came here, he is, as the Bible, he is the God-man. In other words, though he came and was born of a virgin, and though he grew up as a young man and became in his 30s and teaching and then leading, the fact is this, the blood that flowed through him was not man's blood. That was God's blood. That was the Lord. It was pure blood. It was perfect blood. It was holy blood. And that's why when he came, the purpose he came was he knew that you and I had a problem. Even before we were created, he knew man would have a problem. He knew that you and I would be sinners and that we would have no hope of salvation. But, praise the Lord, He decided and chose to come and He came to this world and He went to a cross because you and I cannot heal ourselves. You and I all share the same issue. But He who is the Son of God, the perfect, holy Son of God, He came and He died on the cross so that you and I could be saved. And when He went to that cross, it was pure blood, untainted blood. It was spotless blood. It was holy blood that was shed for you and I. And when He died on the cross, He was not a man that had a problem like you and I. He was the perfect Son of God. He was the Holy One. He is the only God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when He died on that cross, He did what none of us could do for each other. He paid for our sins. And when He paid for our sins, His blood was shed for us. But to show that death did not win, He arose from the grave. Because He proved this sickness that we have, not unto death. It doesn't end with death. There is a cure. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, well, how do I take that? I gave a silly illustration last week on bus. I think I told you about it. You know, I brought Coy up there and I told all the kids he had a headache. Coy acted like he had a headache. He's like, oh. And I brought out 2 ibuprofen. I was like, this will help Coy. And they're like, yes, it will help Coy. I took those. I said, how many of you believe that? And they're all just like, yes, ibuprofen will help Coy's headache. I took the ibuprofen, I put him in duct tape, and I stuck it to his head. And he sat there with duct tape with 2 ibuprofen sticking on his head. And they're like, I was like, you said it would help him. I put it on his head. You're like, that's not going to work. Why not? Because it has to be in him. And I looked at the kids. I said, you're right. You're right. How do we receive Jesus Christ? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In order to be cured of this sin problem that all of us have, you must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. How do I receive the Lord Jesus Christ? By believing on His name. And what is that? That He is the Christ. He is our Savior. I am the sinner, but He paid for my sins. And in that faith and repentance, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, I am a sinner deserving of death, condemned to die, but I believe that Jesus died for my sins. And we look to the Lord as our Savior. And praise the Lord, you're healed. I'm not saying we won't live. We still live in a sin-cursed world. I'm not going to look at you and say, none of you are going to get sick. You will. I've told you, and I've given this illustration many times, when my grandfather was diagnosed with the Alzheimer's that he had, my first reaction was I got very angry. I got very angry. Because of every man that I've ever known in my life, I've never met a more godly man, a greater soul winner than my grandfather. And I could not wrap my mind around why God would let that happen to him. And I went to go visit him, being angry. And I knew that he was going to say, I'm mad too, Travis John. Why would God do this to me? But when I sat in his living room, I said, I don't understand this. And he said, I do. He said, we're all sinners. He said, this sin-cursed world ends in a physical death. But then he looked at me and said, but if that's God's way to bring me to him, I'm good with it. The fact is this, we're all sinners. And we all have an issue. But praise the Lord has given us a cure. By accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But I want you to see something. This promise is that not unto death there is a way. But also look at verse number 4 with me. The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. I'm here today to tell you, to look at you today and say, I'm not going to die and go to hell. I'm thankful for that. But I'm going to follow that statement with this. It's not because of me.
It's all because of him. I deserve death and hell. That's what I deserve. I can look at you today and say, I'm going to heaven. But I also have to say, praise to God, that I'm going to heaven. All the glory goes to him. All of God's children today, if you're saved, you ought to join me in saying, thank you, God, for my salvation. If it were not for the Lord Jesus Christ, we'd have no hope. But he saved me. And when we get to heaven, we'll not be patting ourselves on the back and giving each other high fives because we got there. We're all going to be at the same place, at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, thank you, God. Thank you for the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. All the praise will go to God. You see a problem, you see a promise. Thirdly, I want you to see a passion. Verse number 5, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You know why God made a plan for cure for our sin problem? He loves you. Amen. He loves you. My friend, I don't care whether you're sitting in this auditorium, listening to this sermon online, or will listen to it later. The Lord loves you. He loves you. When Jesus heard the news, he knew the plan. But it didn't change the fact that he loved him. He knew Lazarus was sick. He loved him. He knew Martha was hurting. He loved her. He knew Mary was isolating herself from everybody. He loved her. He loved them. And I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ, he loves us all. He loves every one of us. He loves us today. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. A lot of people live their life wondering if anybody loves them. Well, I promise you, there is a God that loves you. He loves you today. We always close our services at the nursing home facility there in Brookwood, singing, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I'm thankful today that he loves us all. And there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Be it peril, distress, famine, sword, or any other thing you want to put in there. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. You see here the problem? Sinning. We all have a sin issue, a sickness unto death. For the promise, there is a cure. And the praise will go to God. The passion, he loves us all. Praise the Lord for that love. And then you see his plan. His plan in verses 6 to 15, just look at a few things with me. First of all, notice verse number 6, 7, and 8. It says, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Now, last time he was there, people wanted to kill him. Last time they were there, people picked up stones and were ready to stone the Lord Jesus Christ, and probably the disciples figured them too. And just humanly speaking, whenever Jesus didn't go straight to Bethany, I'm sure, and I don't say it, but I'm sure the disciples were thinking, he knows that if we go, we're going to die. I don't blame you, Lord. Last time we were there, they were picking up stones. I'm sure they probably meeting in the corner saying, I wonder why he's not going to Lazarus. Well, you remember last time we were in that area? They about killed us. I get it. I don't blame them, right? Playing the safe route, right? But then after a couple days, Jesus said, all right, let's go. Look at the disciples' answers. Verse number 8, his disciples saying to him, Master, in case you've forgotten, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Lord, are you sure we ought to go? Might not end too well. Are you sure that's where you want to go? The problem was there was a sickness unto death. There was a problem, or there was a promise. The Lord said, it's going to be okay. The Lord said the praise will go to him. Because he loves us, the passion. The plan, number one, the disciples had to see this, that he was willing to face death. The only reason I'm going to heaven today, because I had a sin problem, but God promised before the foundation of the world that there would be an answer. And all the praise would go to him. Because he loves me, there was a plan. And the plan number one was he would face death. Jesus, when he came for this purpose, to die for our sins. He left heaven, the throne of God, to face death for you and I. The plan was for him to face death. And then in verse number 9, to finish his destiny. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world. So what was the Lord saying there to his disciples? He gave an illustration. He said, listen, there's 12 hours of daylight, generally speaking. And if we got a job to do, we do it while it's daylight, during the working hours. You follow me? Lazarus is sick. Well, don't you understand? They may kill you. What I understand is that I have a job to do. And while I have opportunity, I'm going to do this. Obviously, with our sin problem, praise the Lord came and he faced and he did what he needed to do so that we could go to heaven. Praise the Lord. But I also think he's teaching the disciples a lesson too. That in serving the Lord, be willing to give him everything. Because we only have such a time as this to do what God has called us to do. And you see here, I believe he's teaching disciples this lesson too, that number 3, and we're done, they would find deliverance. Down there in verse number 14, and Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go into him. Finally get the whole plan here. The Lord said, I'm going to use this to help you believe. I'm going to use this so that you can see how great I am. I'm going to allow this sickness for the people, the lost that would be gathered around the grave, to the disciples who'd be scratching their head, so that they could see that there is a God. We have a job to do. Are there any dots connecting? We have a job to do. Our job is not here to sit back here in this desert place afraid of a stone being cast on us. Our job is to do while we have the time to do it. While there's people hurting, people scared, people wondering, let's go do our job. Because it might be that now their hearts are open to find deliverance. Now, they may believe. 5 days before this, they weren't concerned. But now, their eyes are open. And now is the perfect opportunity for the Lord to say, sin is real. Death is coming. But there is an answer. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. May we take this message and give it to a lost world today. Half of them are scared. The other half are confused. Some are mourning. Some are hiding. We have the answer. We have the answer. Let's take it to a world that needs hope. What's the message? He that believeth in me shall never die. Amen. He that believeth in me, I am the resurrection and the life. Let's take that message while it is day and take that message to the world as quick as we can. If you're here today and you're not saved, Jesus dealt with that sin problem. He paid for your sins, and you can receive him today by believing on his name. To the believer today, to the disciples today, the Lord has a lesson. It is daytime. Let's do the work. There's people that need it. During this time, may it build our faith, and may it help us to share that faith with a lost and dying world. Father, I pray you take